You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I just love talking about this kind of stuff.
Yes.
I love talking about the what if. What if Terrell Pryor comes in here and really lights it up? Now, I want to ask you this.
Sure.
Buckeye love, when he is on the field, out on that practice field, and the people are there in the thousands at a Browns practice, and they realize, there he is, there's Terrell Pryor. I remember him, you know, when he was running crazy down at Ohio Stadium. I mean, will he get an extra push from these fans, and people want him in games right away because he's an Ohio State player? Because Jason Gibbs, who is our producer back at the station, and I don't feel, after conversing with him during the last commercial break, he should ever be invited to dot the I in Script, Ohio.
Fair.
He feels that sometimes, go ahead, you say it yourself,
no.
Sometimes we get infatuated. We relive their college days, right, as a Brown.
Yeah, that or, well, because they're from here, the Browns should go out and sign him. Just
right.
Because
right.
They're
yeah,
from
yeah,
here,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then we need to go out and we need to sign this guy. Look, I am all for the prior signing, especially since he's willing to play wide receiver.
Right.
And I thought since he played at Ohio State, if that kid lined up at wide receiver, I don't know many people that could cover him out in open space if he caught the football.
If he catches the football,
if
you're
he
right.
catches the football,
right.
So.
It's a similar feeling to what, you know, a lot of people have jumped. LeBron in a football uniform, you know.
Well, here's
that
a
big
here's,
physical.
Yeah, sure, and here's a point for the two of you. I mean, once on those quick throws right on the line of scrimmage or a quick slant to Josh Gordon, once he caught the ball,
yes.
All right, and if he was in the right place and of sane mind,
splitting
okay,
two defenders.
I mean, he's separated,
yes.
And I could see Pryor being able to do that. And I mean, I am really getting worked up into a lather now over this. Over Pryor. What number is he going to wear? Have they designated his number yet?
That's a good question.
I think
question.
So.
Have they, Jason?
Yeah, let me okay. take a look. I can look it up
all
for
right.
you. I
think while you do that, we have. I think my excitement has generated two others. And Dino the Trucker joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Dino, if you're in the truck right now, could you spin by, please, and pick up Terrell Pryor and get him up here?
I got him in the truck with me right now. I got him 3 minutes sleep.
Good. How are you?
Don't speak too loud. All right. Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
You know, it's just like when I always thought about with Terrell Pryor would be a great wide receiver.
So you even thought that, Dino, when he was running down at Ohio State?
Well, yeah. I always thought that about him because, let's face it, Ohio State, other than Cardell Jones or whatever that guy last year that played for us. I keep on forgetting his name. I apologize. But he was I never seen anybody like him. You know, but they usually produce running quarterbacks
right.
at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And he is big enough, strong enough to be an excellent wide receiver. And I'll tell you something else, like with Josh Cripps, I don't know why Josh ever wanted to be a wide receiver. He always, to me, he would always make a great defensive be in the secondary. I don't know why I've always thought that.
You know, Dino,
him.
I think there was one time early on in his career that Josh tinkered with or they talked to him about possibly playing safety.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Well,
for
he was
a
big
like
hitter.
Big hitter,
yeah,
athletic
hitter.
With
right,
range.
Very athletic, yeah. I do remember that there was one time they said to him, you know, when they were throwing out all the different things that he could do. I mean, remember now. Remember the New England Patriots one year when they were just fantastic, but
yes.
they were riddled in the secondary, and they had Troy Brown, their
yes.
wide receiver,
go
over.
I recall that.
I think Eric Mangini was a big part of teaching him how to play cornerback, and I think in the Super Bowl he played cornerback.
And the greatest
and
thing
wide
about
receiver.
It is, and I think our defense can get that good, and it's more you custom call your defense
mm-hmm.
to disguise a guy like Troy Brown in your defensive backfield. You get just enough of a guy like him, almost like we did with Matthew Dellavedova, but for 7 games. You couldn't hide him for 7 games. You know,
yeah,
eventually,
very right.
the talent and
yeah,
him being exposed, you know, it all
right.
came full circle. But in a football game, you know, you could shade a safety that way. You
uh-huh.
could push a linebacker underneath him to protect a guy like Troy Brown or a guy like Josh Cribbs at safety. But it's a very interesting take.
Yeah, it really is. He will wear number 87.
87.
Number
87. Yeah, and Matt was right on that.
And he is coming into camp at 6'4", 223.
Now, the numbers, is that good?
It's close.
Height,
I think he's a little leaner than he was as a quarterback.
Well, and your point would be what, Jason? That he's too big?
No,
you think he's too thin?
I think it's pretty good size for
him. Yeah, I want to tell you something, and I said this yesterday. When I saw him in his Raider uniform the one day, and Doug Deacon's going to be with us, but I remember Doug and I were on the field before the game out at the Coliseum, and Doug was meeting with the people in the black hole, as he does, and he goes over his investments out there with them. But Terrell Pryor went running past us because it was his first game that he was active and able to dress for a game on a Sunday afternoon, and he was huge.
Yes.
I mean, he really was. Let's go back to the telephones. Mark is in Worcester. Hi, Mark.
Yes, Jim, Matt, great show.
Thank you.
Question, how hard is it in the NFL particularly to make the transition like this from quarterback to receiver? And would it be easier for him since he had been a quarterback and understands routes?
Yeah, good question. We scratched a little bit on that earlier. So he knows the quarterback position.
Correct.
All right. So he looked at routes from a different angle because he was throwing to them. He was throwing to receivers.
And
he knows what he likes. He knows what worked, I would presume, and he knows what didn't work.
I don't think we've ever seen, and correct me if I'm wrong, a quarterback this deep into his NFL career make the transition from quarterback to wide receiver. What we always see is Denard Robinson or the Devin Gardeners, the two Michigan quarterbacks that come into the NFL as a different position because it's the only way they could ever make it in the NFL because they were used, in their customized system at their school of choice. But the intriguing thing is this is an absolute flyer for the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
There was nothing.
It didn't cost them a draft choice.
It didn't cost them a draft choice. We had a guy that most likely wouldn't make the Cleveland Browns roster was released to make room for a guy like Terrell Pryor, where if it works out, and you like it, you're a hero. Ray Farmer for making the choice for, claiming it on waivers. It's, one more check in the pro box for a guy like for Ray Farmer, those who are critical of him. And if it's not, you move forward. As we've said, you've got Marlon Moore, you've got Travis Benjamin, you've got Rodney Smith, who could be their own role player for this football team. Terrell Pryor is just a much more interesting role. And I think the Ohio State connection is just, fueling the fire for Terrell Pryor.
And that's what will be interesting.
Yes.
How big will that fire be? And when he goes in there, how demanding will the crowd be, that the ball goes his way?
Yeah.
In these preseason games. That will be the critical thing.
It will.
He's on a fast clock.
He is.
To try and make this team. Now, you said he is not practice squad eligible,
He is
right?
not.
So
no.
He's got to make it.
He does.
Okay.
Yep.
One other point, and I know you're very proud of this, and we'll be talking with Doug Deacon in a few moments, and I know that this will interest him a great deal, but the Maxwell Award nominees.
Yes.
Players of Interest, College Player of the Year, is the Maxwell Award.
Correct.
Doug, all three Ohio State quarterbacks, Miller, JT Barrett, and Cardale Jones, they're all on the list, and Ezekiel Elliott
Correct.
Is on the list,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is.
Have you ever remembered in your career that all three
no.
quarterbacks
I can't say
on?
I've heard two.
I mean,
it's
all
only
three.
A watch list, so it's a very broad list of maybe 250, but to have three at the same position at one school is very rare.
Okay. Braxton Miller is supposedly going to make some kind of announcement this week in Columbus. He sent a cryptic message to a newspaper writer in Columbus, the Dispatch, right?
Yes.
Okay, and he said, I'll let everybody know what's going on. Something like that, and I don't have the exact words. Now, we had an announcement right after the national championship game, and that's when, over at Glenville, Cardale Jones made the announcement
Correct.
He was not going to go to the NFL. He was going to go back to Ohio State. It's very, very late, right?
It is very late.
For Braxton Miller to make any kind of a campus change, wouldn't it?
I agree. I think if it's anything, it's going to be something similar to what Terrell Pryor just did.
Position.
And it's a position change.
Oh, okay. A position
That's
change.
That's my only guess.
All right. A position change. That's interesting. Well, that could be it.
Could he play defensive back?
Could he play defensive back?
I don't
back?
Know. I'm just throwing it out there. I think you're too talented at wide receiver for him to get any reps in that offense. And I think he'll start the season as a third string quarterback. Mm. That's just the way it is.
Wow, that is unbelievable.
I know, especially when we come back or we get to it later in the show, when I say the laundry list of accolades, he's 550 yards short of Arch Schliester's all-time yardage record at the University of Ohio State, and he's going to be the third string quarterback.
That is absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. That is one of those. That's a 30 for 30 movie.
It is.
On ESPN,
it is.
Isn't
Definitely
it?
Is.
It will be a 30 for 30 movie. What happened to Braxton Miller?
Yeah.
I mean, if it plays out that way.
Yep.
But it would be interesting now. So you think maybe a defensive back?
I don't know.
But he'll try it as a wide receiver.
Yes. I just don't know if there's enough room. They're just so talented everywhere else.
All right, one other question on the NFL front I want to ask you, and that is that as we get ready for training camp, and if the Browns are going to play a certain way where they're going to run the ball, control the game, play great defense, to me they have to have a great kicker.
Yes.
All right, because if you're going to play that way, you're going to play tight to the finish, and tight to the finish means if you have the ball, you're going to be trying to get into field goal range because the game is going to be within that three-point span. You know, one way or the other, and you're going to be kicking to either win it or lose it. And you got to have a good kicker if you're going to play low-scoring games.
Yes.
And it looks like they might be doing that. And I don't know if the two guys they have coming into camp are the guys, but that is something to watch out for. But the other thing I think to watch out for as camp goes on, the two guys in camp sometimes don't end up as the kicker on opening day.
This is correct.
Billy Cundiff was not in camp the year that he ended up as the Browns' main kicker.
That's right. And as of right now, we sit with the four specialists on this roster are new to this team. You have Charlie Hewlett is the new long snapper after we cut Christian Yount.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Lanning gone, with the trade for Andy Lee, and two young kickers with very little experience in the National Football League.
Okay, and Spears is one of them, right?
Spears and Coons.
And Coons. Okay,
yes.
Now Spears is the kid from here.
Yes.
From Mayfield. Kicked a 61-yard field goal in high school.
Yep.
I think he did at Mayfield.
Yes.
Okay, so he's got a big leg. And Coons is known to have a big leg.
He is. He's the bigger of the two individuals as well.
All right. So that will be another battle to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that plays out in games, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Does that kind of competition play out on the field when they line up at the end of the practice and they say, hey, listen, 52-yard field goal, no meetings tonight if he hits it?
Yeah. yes, it does. I think it does. And I think that Mike Pettine and Chris Tabor will have a watchful eye on it. But something we talked about yesterday, the preseason, I think, is what's going to separate these two young men if they end up being the kicker that will make this roster.
Yeah, or they decide at that point, hey, listen, we have to take a look at what everyone else is leaving by the wayside, and we go get a vet. All right, so those are some of the things that are going on. Doug Deacon's going to join us as we continue on Cleveland Browns Daily, and we'll be back with Deke right after we take this time out on ESPN 850 WKNR.